I'm Stuart Langridge, he's John O'Bacon,
and this is Shot of Jack. Few can deny the impact of Twitter. Once a sausage-fingered, red-headed stepchild of the glistening Web 2.0 generation, Twitter has since become home for a new generation of virtual curtain twitchers, bespectacled celebrity stalkers, and narcissistic social media dorks the world over. The microblogging fuss has been anything but microscopic. Twitter has not only attracted anyone and their dog, but it can become an icon for technical and, forgive me, social change. It has become the pseudonym for art, culture, and politics. Astute observations, refined political thinking, and meticulously crafted and well-thought-out digs at Kanye West are all part of the culture. Time magazine claims that Twitter is changing the way we live our lives. 24/7 Wall Street claims it will change how we do business, and even Shakespeare predicted that Twitter would provide a microphone to the wise. The bard once muttered that men of few words are the best men. Wise words, my friend, apart from if in Romeo and Juliet when our chisel-cheeked hero clambers through the Capulet family orchard to see the flickering candlelight in Juliet's bedroom window, he would be greeted with, "At Romeo, oh, at Romeo, wherefore art thou, at Romeo?" But I have a question. When is this gravy train going to end? Twitter has 55 million unique monthly visitors, and in February, a Nielsen.com blog ranked Twitter as the fastest growing site in the member communities category, with a monthly growth of a whopping 1,382%, only just beating that of Shot of Jack. The buzz has not gone unnoticed by venture capitalists. In just 2 years, our favourite microblogging service has raised roughly $155 million in venture capital, including $135 million this year, give or take the odd million here and there. It seems like a great idea, though, that in this prosperous and affluent economy, to invest $155 million in a company with absolutely no commercial product. I can see why, though, despite the lack of, you know, a product, Twitter is expected to net projected earnings in quarter 3, 2009 of $400,000. I assume that there must have been some kind of office whip round or something. Anyway, I jape, and both you, Ack, and I both love Twitter to bits. But inside this incongruous diatribe, the question still stands. Is the Twitter sensation going to survive its own bubble? And who is going to pay for it?
Clearly who's paying for it is venture capitalists, since it's not us. I am astounded to find out that Twitter are $154,600,000 short of the investment target. I mean, that's insane.
If I was at Twitter, I'd be a bit worried about that.
Why? Why would you be a bit worried about it? I'd be thinking, oh, well, I better just go home by getting into my gold Lamborghini Diablo again.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you know, I'm not entirely sure that the way VC works is that you go up to someone and you say, could you give me somewhere in the region of maybe $155 million, right? And I'm not going to give you half of it. I'm not going to give any of it back, let's be honest, right? So I don't even necessarily works that way.
Well, I thought that's where the
I'd be a little worried at Twitter. But I mean, they're not making any money. Everyone in the world uses it. Someone's got to pay for it. And the VCs are going to start demanding the readies back at some point.
So. Well, part of the thing is that I think they almost see themselves as providing a service that things plug into. I think at Twitter, obviously, you know, the core Twitter product is where everyone gets to see when Stephen Fry's on the bog or what have you. But
it's a valuable service. I pay money for that.
It is. See, that's where they're going to get their money from. I get to find out that Derren Brown is on his way to the theatre to record this evening's show, which I'll then watch on television. But I think they almost see themselves as a service which then other stuff will plug into, like SMTP. So where they're going to make the money is on things built on top of Twitter, not on Twitter itself.
But how does Twitter make the money from that?
I don't quite get how that is.
The way it strikes me is that, you know, Twitter Corporation or whatever the hell they are, right? They build this incredible backbone, and then everybody else on top of it gets to make a ton of money. And even then, who's going to pay for anything that plugs into Twitter?
Well,
who?
Well, in the same way that people will pay money for little coloured badges on Facebook and stuff, you can imagine people paying for that.
Do people actually pay money for that?
How do you think Facebook make money?
Dude, don't... God, man, those people will be first. Those people will be first against the wall when the revolution comes, I can tell you.
All that kind of thing aside, I mean, everybody already knows that. Everybody sneers at people who buy badges on Facebook. Everyone who listens to this sneers at people who buy badges on Facebook. So, realistically, the interesting question is not really where the money's coming from, although it is an interesting question that someone needs to answer, but whether the Twitter sensation is going to survive its own bubble. And to be honest with you, Twitter has defined the bubble that it's in the same way that loads of other stuff defined previous bubbles. The idea of social media, the concept, has sprung up on the back of Twitter, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the thing that stunned me about Twitter, of course, is the fact that there's been just such a tremendous explosion around it. And it's become something that people really rely on. Like, I mean, in our world, multiple people have said, and I'm absolutely the case, that, you know, it's adjusting how we communicate. So, for example, when I write on my blog now, they're more articles as opposed to long tweets, which is what it used to be like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You've got that.
And people
sense.
Are getting fired. I mean, you know, there was a case recently of a guy in Hollywood who works as a waiter in Hollywood, and some waitress comes in and he writes something about her on. Some actress comes in and writes something about her on his Twitter account, and he got fired because of it. And like American football players have been tweeting from the dressing room, it's been banned in dressing rooms. It's like, you know, it's having such a tremendous impact.
But that's the point of a bubble.
It's going to run out, and it's at some point, the bubble's going to burst, and it's all going to go.
Of course it is, but so do all the previous bubbles burst. You know, I mean, people don't use MySpace as much anymore because they all moved to Facebook.
Was there ever a MySpace bubble?
MySpace was massive. Well, MySpace, you remember Rupert Murdoch paid some insanely ridiculous gold pyramid amount of money for MySpace. So
yeah.
the thing is, obviously, of course, it won't survive its own bubble. So the idea is to make as much out of the idea before. The interesting thing about good bubbles is that they don't pop and just destroy everything inside them. They just become part of the structure of our lives. The blogging bubble was obviously a bubble, and lots of people got into it and then got back out of it. But everyone didn't just go, oh, blogging's now yesterday's technology, and not bother with it anymore. A lot of people have still got a blog, and they're still writing on it. It's just changed the meaning of it as it becomes subsumed into the mainstream of your life, if you're the kind of person who writes diary entries.
But I guess the thing is because Twitter's so centralized, it could conceivably just go away one day. It's not like a bunch of federated services. Like, people have blogs, but they have their own, often they have their own blogs hosted. And I think that's the worry, is that where it's not just a bubble in the tech world. It's a bubble that affects everybody.
Well, that was Identica open microblogging protocol stuff's about. But again, a typical open source approach where you say, we don't want a centralized service, we want it spread out all over the place. But no one ever invents that first. It always gets invented as a response to a proprietary centralized service.
You can guarantee that when everyone's crying because their Twitter accounts have been switched off, Evan Probadomina Hobadobadu from Identica is going to be smiling.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, I think. I mean, it will obviously move on, but I think Twitter have managed to capture the idea that we can do things from our phones and just in 10 seconds on the desktop. I imagine you've got thoughts on Twitter. You can join the conversation at shotofjack.org, or you can email them directly to us at talktous@shotofjack.org, or if you want to, put them actually on Twitter, use the hashtag #shotofjack.